Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. Have you ever been in shock? Like, legitimate shock? The kind of mental situation where all of a sudden your body just doesn't respond. Your brain doesn't know what to do. The circumstances of what just happened to you overwhelm you. And for a moment, you might just sit there, not responding. It could be the most dire situation, and still, you would not respond. This happens in our real world during events like car wrecks. Somebody is hurt, and they're in shock from the situation due to pain and an overwhelming emotional state or something like that. And you see it in movies and things, like the car engine is on fire and the person needs to move, but they just won't react. They otherwise would be capable of moving and reacting, but they don't. Now, there's a medical definition of shock, and I'm not a doctor, I'm sure some of you might be, where it's defined as a state where cellular or tissue hypoxia happens due to either a reduction in oxygen delivery or increased oxygen consumption, inadequate oxygen utilization, or a combination of these processes. At least that's what I read on the internet. And you can see how in a situation like a car wreck, that could be the case. You could be injured and not able to actually breathe correctly, or be breathing fumes but not getting enough oxygen, any of those kinds of things. What Turin is going through here is more of a state of emotional shock. And you may have experienced this as well. He's not particularly physically injured. I mean, he's been tortured and driven by the whips of the orcs, but this is a situation where he responds because of something he did that he would never, ever dream of doing on purpose. Before him lies the dead body of Beleg Strongbow, his dearest friend, who he accidentally murdered. And this isn't the first time this has happened to Turin. Turin accidentally murdered someone else before, although that situation was quite different. But here he is again, looking at the death of somebody that he caused. And this time, it's Beleg. And Beleg is probably the person he loved more than anyone else in this world. The person who always came back for him, always rooted for him, always was there in order to help him or returned when he needed him. And in this situation, Beleg was the one who risked his life in order to try to steal him away from the orcs that had captured him. And here he was dead. The text says, "But now in the dell beneath the orcs were aroused, and the camp was in full tumult. For they feared the thunder that came out of the west, believing that it was sent against them by the enemies beyond the sea. Then a wind arose, and great rains fell, and torrents swept down from the heights of Tar Nufuin. And though Gwyndor cried out to Turin, warning him of their utmost peril, he made no answer, but sat unmoving and unweeping in the tempest beside the body of Beleg Cuthalion." So a strange thing happens here. We're told that the orcs are worried about the thunder and the storm, as if it's being sent by Manwë himself, even though Manwë isn't mentioned here. But they say the lords across the sea. That's what they mean, the Valar. And we have a situation where Turin is unmoving. He's unreacting, and Gwyndor can't do anything to get him to move. They're sitting up on this hill overlooking the encampment of the orcs. And they stay there for the rest of the night. Gwyndor can't move Turin. We're not given a whole lot of details about what happens between that moment of the tempest rising and them just sitting out here in the darkness. But we are told what happens next. When morning came, the storm was passed away eastward over Lothlin. And the sun of autumn rose hot and bright, and believing that Turin would have fled far away from that place, and all trace of his flight be washed away, the orcs departed in haste without longer search. And far off Gwyndor saw them marching away over the steaming lands of Unfoglith. Thus it came to pass that they returned to Morgoth empty-handed, and left behind them the son of Húrin, who sat crazed and unwitting on the slopes of Tar Nufuin, bearing a burden heavier than their bonds. They give up. They don't know where he is. They're not able to figure out where he went. And they sit kind of, the image here is that they kind of sit there huddled throughout the night because of the storm. And then day comes and they decide to move on. Which is interesting, because orcs don't usually move by day, but somehow they must have covered themselves in order to walk by day. It's not detailed here. We don't get those details, because the focus of this part of the story is Turin and his bondage to whatever feelings he's feeling in this moment. And he won't talk. He won't respond. And Gwyndor doesn't know what to do. Now, before we go on with the story, just real quick, I want to point out that this is one of two moments where even though the Valar do not show up themselves, something is referencing them and something positive happens because of it. This storm, the wind, the thunder referencing Manwë. And creating a situation where the orcs are afraid, and so they decide to move on without looking nearby to see if Turin is just happens to be right there. And this is fairly strongly, at least in these types of works where the Valar don't actually show up themselves, it's fairly strongly implied. We're going to have another moment like this coming up later in the episode, so keep your ears perked for that. The next thing we know, Gwyndor attempts to rouse Turin again, and he finally does, but he walks like somebody in sleep, as if he's sleepwalking, and they know they have to bury Beleg. His body has been laying out throughout the night, so they create a shallow grave. They dig what they can with the tools and the things that they have nearby, which is not a whole lot of anything. And then they have to decide what to do with his items. And we get kind of a Dungeons and Dragons magic items moment here. That's what these kinds of moments feel like to me. And it's obviously this is like looking backwards through time, because this would have been one of those moments that informed role playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and the fun and adventure of finding a special weapon or having a special weapon. So we get, again, the names of Beleg's weapons. They place beside him Belthronding, his great bow, which was made of black yew wood, and the dreadsword Anglicel, which Gwyndor took, saying that it was better if it would take vengeance on the servants of Morgoth than lie useless in the earth. And he also takes the lembas that Beleg still had on him in order to strengthen them in the wild. He knows that they're going to need this. And then we're given a little passage about Beleg. Thus ended Beleg Strongbow, truest of friends, greatest in skill of all that harbored in the woods of Beleriand in the elder days. That's high praise. That is very high praise. But we've seen it for ourselves. At the hand of him whom he most loved. We know definitively here, Beleg most loved Turin. He loved him. And probably in a Frodo and Sam kind of way, this is one of those moments where we have a sort of proto-Frodo? Wow, that's funny. Proto-Frodo and Sam moment. This love of this brotherly love. And it is love with a capital L. This is a feeling that you have. It's not romantic love. It's not like they were going to get married and live the rest of their days together. But it is a love, a companionship that can happen between two people who just find that they are there for each other. They can trust each other. They can be with each other. They need each other. And we don't talk about this a lot in our modern Western society. But Tolkien understood this. We're also told here that the grief was graven on the face of Turin and never faded. I think Tolkien also understood the weight of the pains that we carry. Although they don't hurt as much as time goes by, we still carry them. They stay with us. And you could see this on Turin's face. It never went away. So Gwyndor decides to help Turin out. And it's interesting because we have kind of this beginning of an arc, maybe, we won't spoil the end, of Gwyndor doing things that might bring a form of redemption. We know that he was the one responsible for throwing the troops into battle too quickly. And here he is with Turin, a man that he doesn't know, brought to Turin by Beleg, an elf that he did know and trusted. And Gwyndor does the right thing. He stays with Turin here, and they travel together. This passage is interesting because it focuses on Gwyndor. It says, "But courage and strength were renewed in the elf of Nargothrond, and departing from Tar Nufuin, he led Turin far away, never once as they wandered together on long and grievous paths did Turin speak." So let's pause that there. They're traveling a long way. This is days. We're not given a specific time frame, but we're given roughly locations. They're heading towards Nargothrond. We know that. That's where Gwyndor wants to go back to. That's his home and a safe place that he could take Turin. So that would make sense. But during this entire traveling, the days and days of traveling through the wilderness, Turin does not speak. It goes on. "And he walked as one without wish or purpose." You've probably noticed this pattern already in Turin's story. Turin is motivated, does what could be wonderful things, And then something bad happens. It's like the curse hits him when he's at his best. And then he drops and descends into a depressive state, potentially, you could call it. Although it's not said that in the books. And then he's brought back out of that and does good things again. And then something else hits him and he drops and descends into this depressive state. And each time it almost seems like it's worse. We have one moment where he heads off into the wild to just be with the wild men because he doesn't believe he belongs with the elves. But in this moment, it's like he's a thrall. He's walking around without any purpose, without any wish. And then we know that time really has passed here because we get this statement. While the year waned and winter drew on over the northern lands. It's getting late in the year. It's getting more difficult to live in the wild because of the cold. But Gwyndor was ever beside him to guard him and guide him. And thus they passed westward over Sirion and came at length to Ithil Ivrin, the springs whence Narog rose beneath the mountains of shadow. This is an interesting location. Ithil Ivrin. It doesn't come up very often, but we do know that the rivers in this location were overseen by Olmo, the Valar of the Waters, and that he still visited them. He was still there. The waters themselves were clean and refreshing because it was a spring. This is where the water came up nice and cold from the earth. We also know that there was a waterfall here as well. The picture we're painted, when you look into this, is that of kind of a holy place. And maybe the kind of place that Turin needed to be at in order to be himself again.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank all the wonderful patrons. You guys are the best. I really do appreciate it. And let's go through the list. We have some new patrons to welcome to the Patreon this week. Stephen S., Lauren C., I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Jake L., and Lindsay P. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for joining us. I hope you are enjoying your bonus episodes. There's a bunch of them now, and the ad-free episodes and all of that stuff. We have a bunch of VIP patrons to shout out as well. We have, let's see, we'll start at the top of the list. Bo, Brad S., Brandy D., Chewbacca, David M., Esoteric Rage, Goblin, Jesse P., Larry, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Sam B., Shannon Lee, and Sheev Palpatine. I love it. Thank you to all of you. You guys are absolutely the best. I couldn't do this without you. All 170 of our patrons, thank you so very much. And I genuinely hope you're enjoying the bonus episodes. And we'll be getting to one of those later on. So stay tuned for that if you are one of the patrons. Also, we've got some new ratings and reviews to read out. Just two this week. The first one, it says, Keith, this one's from Keith 00112 in the US, who writes, worth your time, 5 stars. Short and sweet. It says, outstanding resource, as stated, this is worth your time. At the very least, it was certainly worth my time. Matter of fact, Keith, thank you so much. Then we have one from Jubblebath. It's like a bubble bath with a J in front, from the United States, who writes, clap, maze, clap, ing. There's a little clap emojis in the middle there. 5 stars. I literally cannot say enough positive things about this podcast. I'm not the world's biggest stickler or snob on lore when it comes to the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien, but I did grow up and I love to nerd out on it. My dad introduced me to the Lord of the Rings trilogy when I was in middle school, right around the time the movies came out. I was instantly obsessed. He gave me all his books, including the Tolkien Bestiary. It's pronounced bestiary, but it's about beasts. So that's always, pronunciation is not my strong suit. I think you guys probably know this. Bestiary. This is funny because I got my dad's Tolkien books also around middle school age, and included in it was the Tolkien Bestiary. And I absolutely loved that book. That was awesome. And a copy of the Silmarillion. I was always fascinated by the lore, but struggled to grasp the language in the Silmarillion. This podcast breaks everything down in such a friendly, digestible way, but doesn't compromise on the complexity and accuracy of the lore. I love it. You'll love it. Listen to it. Just do it. It's amazing. Jubblebath, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody who takes the time to share this show with your friends or leave a rating and review. If you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it out on a future episode of the show. Also, rating it on Spotify or whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on is a great way to help the show grow and really does help me out. So I very much appreciate that. And heck, even if you don't do any of that stuff and you're just listening to the show, thank you so much for being here. It's free. It's a free podcast. You can enjoy it however you want. So thanks for being a part of this. All right. That's it for the middle of the show. Let's get back to the rest of the story. So we see the use of water a lot in Tolkien's works. You'll notice that some of the locations that the elves live have rivers around them, or rivers that run through them, or underground water that's there. It's not just a coincidence that Rivendell has a river that runs next to it. And then that was very beneficial when trying to get rid of the ringwraiths who were chasing Frodo once he was wounded. Like, you remember all that stuff? That's all of that is intentional. Water is important. Water represents healing and cleaning and a renewal and wakefulness also. Think about it. When you want to wake up in the morning, you splash water on your face. There's a lot going on there with water. So let's talk about this scene where Gwyndor has now brought Turin to this spring that we know is associated with Ulmo. It says, there Gwyndor spoke to Turin, saying, awake, knows the word awake, Turin, son of Húrin, Thalion. And notice he mentions the lineage here. He brings Hurin's name up as well. On Ivrin's lake is endless laughter. She is fed from crystal fountains, unfailing, and guarded from defilement by Ulmo, Lord of the Waters, who wrought her beauty in ancient days. Then Turin knelt and drank from the water, and suddenly he cast himself down, and his tears were unloosed at last, and he was healed of his madness. And we're given a name for what he was enduring here. It was a state of madness. He was not himself. And it's the waters here, this moment, this beautiful moment. You could even liken it to something like a baptism, although that might be too strong. But this idea of holy water, a godlike being overseeing this, somebody else bringing him to it, and then he casts himself down. And that's the line we're given. The image I have in my mind is that he actually falls into the water. But we're not told that. We just know that he drank from it, cast himself down, which I think is Tolkien language for fell into the water. And then all of a sudden, his emotions were loosed. His tears could flow. Then he began to heal. And then directly after this, we have another example of a moment that explains the healing process. Or if you want to take a kind of religious perspective on this, you have a baptism and then you have song, praise. But the praise here is about his friend. There he made a song for Beleg, and he named it Lair Cu Beleg, the song of the great bow, singing it aloud, heedless of peril. And Gwyndor gave the sword Anglicel into his hands, and Turin knew that it was heavy and strong and had great power. You can see here in this moment that he must have truly been healed, because Gwyndor gives him back the blade he used to kill Beleg. And he's okay with that. He's able to move on. He understands that it wasn't the weapon's fault. Although it kind of feels like maybe it was. It wasn't the weapon's fault. Although the weapon does seem to have a personality. We'll get to that a little bit more in a little bit. But he's healing, right? He's healing from the water. He's singing a song, heedless of the peril. He's singing it loud. He's dealing with his emotions. And then the sword is put in his hand. And we're told, but its blade was black and dull, and its edges blunt. And I don't know, like, this is another one of those literary things. You could say that's an analogy for Turin himself. Black with sadness and or madness even, and dull and blunt, but maybe potentially ready to be cleaned up, healed, remade. And then they talk about the blade. Gwyndor says, "This is a strange blade, and unlike any that I have seen in Middle-earth. It mourns for Beleg, even as you do." Interesting, right? "But be comforted, for I return to Nargothrond of the House of Finarfin, and you shall come with me and be healed and renewed." Parallels. There's parallels there. So at this moment, Turin is now awake and responding to the world around him, and has spent potentially months here traveling in the wilderness with Gwyndor. And yet they've never spoken. He's never even really responded to him in any way. And so we get this dialogue. "Who are you?" said Turin. "A wandering elf, a thrall, escaped, whom Beleg met and comforted," said Gwyndor. "Yet once I was Gwyndor, son of Gulen, a lord of Nargothrond, until I went to the Narniath Arnoidead and was enslaved in Angband." "Then have you seen Hurin?" son of Galdor, the warrior of Dor Loman, said Turin. Immediately, he's like, oh, you've been there. Have you seen my father? I have not seen him, said Gwyndor. Remember, Gwyndor would have been kept underground and deep in the earth, mining, working, being imprisoned. But rumor of him runs through Angband that he still defies Morgoth, and Morgoth has laid a curse upon him and all his kin. That I do believe, said Turin. That one little statement there, that I do believe, says so much. It could refer to the curse, this idea that there is a curse on him, because by this point, Turin feels cursed. There are a lot of things that have happened that he doesn't fully feel are really his fault. Sure, he wielded the blade. Sure, he's done some terrible things, but most of it accidentally, not with intent. But also, that I do believe that Húrin, my father, is still defying Morgoth. Both of those things can be summed up in that statement. And so Turin and Gwyndor continue traveling to Nargothrond. They leave Ithil Ivrin and journey south. They follow the river. And this is the Narog. Nargothrond is on the Narog River. And then eventually, they're taken as prisoners by the scouts of the elves as they get close to Nargothrond, which makes sense. This is the way this works, right? These hidden locations have elves hidden in the trees and the hills, and they're watching for anybody that's coming. And so before they notice them, they are captured and brought to Nargothrond. And you would expect at this moment that the people of Nargothrond would recognize somebody like Gwyndor. Obviously, they would know who he is and should recognize him. But at first, they didn't recognize him. We're told here, at first, his own people did not know Gwyndor. He went out young and strong and returned now, seeming as one that aged among mortal men. He looked old, which is weird for elves, unless there's a situation that causes it. And we're told the cause, because of his torments and his labors. He was driven so harshly in Angband that it aged him the way mortal men appear to age over time. But somebody recognized him. Findulas, daughter of Orodreth, the king, knew him and welcomed him. I get this moment of her like looking in his eyes and being like, this is Gwyndor. Like recognize it. That would be like the movie moment, right? For she had loved him before the Narniath, and so greatly did Gwyndor love her beauty that he named her Faelivrin, which is the gleam of the sun on the pools of Ivrin. We just heard about Ivrin, right? Ulmo, the effects of the gods, still in the land and the water. And now we're told about this beautiful elf who looks like the sun reflecting in that water. And because they now recognized Gwyndor, they were okay with Turin being here in Nargothrond. Another rare event of a human man being welcome into a hidden city of the elves. It says here, for Gwyndor's sake, Turin was admitted with him into Nargothrond, and he dwelt there in honor. But when Gwyndor would tell his name, Turin checked him. Oh yes, we get yet another name for Turin, so get ready for this. He says, I am Agarwain, the son of Umarth, which is the bloodstained son of Ill-Fate. This sounds like a metal band. I love it. A hunter in the woods. And the elves of Nargothrond questioned him no more.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast.
If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.